I say you're space, you say I'm time. Written by Fearson, read by X-Men Hater. Fandom, a league of their own. Max tries to call Clance almost every day from the road. Not always on game days, even though that's when she would most like to. But Esther encourages her to try and spend time with the team before and after. Says it's when the guys are most likely to treat the two of them like real players, to commiserate or celebrate together. Everyone on the team teases her about her phone calls, telling her they don't call their sweethearts nearly as much as she calls Clance. It makes Max a little nervous sometimes, as if they're getting a little too close to the truth. But on the other hand, it deflects from her and Esther, so she tries to let it go. Sometimes Clance asks Max questions that make her wonder if Clance did get more out of their conversation about Bert than she'd indicated. If Clance is figuring out things about Max, too. It's subtle, but it shows up in the way Clance asks about Esther, asks if they're getting along. Sometimes Max appreciates it, but it's scary, too, to think about letting some of her different worlds merge, bring some of her hidden truths out into the light. But this is Clance. Clance, who will love her and worry about her no matter whatever happens between them. Max has always known that she can trust Clance, but she's never thought this part of her was important enough to risk anyone knowing, anyone but her former lovers who had just as much to lose. Now, knowing her Uncle Bert, getting to plan a baseball team, Max is realizing that her hidden truths are just as much a part of her that she wants to share with the people she loves. She can talk to Clance in subtle hints on the phone while they're apart, and then, hopefully, in loud chatter as soon as she gets home, the way they always do. Being with Esther is the least secretive Max has gotten to be about love in her life. She's never been able to be seen publicly with someone she's involved with, for one. And certainly not like this, where everyone expects them to prefer each other's company, to band together as the two women on the team, the two pitchers. She's used to sharing sly glances across a room with a lover, not to Esther slipping an arm around Max's waist as they sit together on the bus, her touch steadying and thrilling at the same time. Max had been worried at first that her joining the team and immediately spending all her time with Esther would be moving too fast, putting too much pressure on their relationship. But Esther had just laughed when Max had brought it up.
You really have to overthink everything, don't you?
Not everything, Max grumbles.
Listen, if there's one thing I've learned over the years, it's to take happiness where I find it, Esther says. We don't really know what the future's going to bring, especially in this job, in this country. I'd rather take chances and regret them than miss out entirely.
She grins at Max.
After all, I took a chance on you, didn't I?
So Max takes her happiness, takes it all, maybe more than her share of it. Sometimes she feels like she's going to burst with it, getting to play baseball by day and be with Esther by night. And she doesn't even have to hide it most of the time. And then there's the sex. Max has had a decent amount of sex. Some of it exciting, some of it pleasant, some of it mediocre. But all the sex she's had has been furtive, rushed, with little time to linger. She's never had the kind of slow, lazy sex that's only possible when you have a bedroom to yourself and the whole night stretched out in front of you. They still have to be careful, of course, with Red, with their teammates, with motel staff in any place where they're playing a series and stay more than one night. In those places, or anywhere, the motel walls are a little too thin, Max learns about the joys of shower sex, where running water can cover any amount of sins, whether sounds or smells. There's something so luxurious about not worrying every single minute about being caught, about having time. First being all over each other when they stumble into their rooms at the start of an evening, hot and heavy and passionate. Frantic kisses and hands shoved down each other's pants to get each other off as quickly as possible, to take off the edge that they've had since playing. Then another round that's silken and indulgent, Max spending hours just eating Esther out, licking and tasting her as Esther shudders and cries and comes over and over again. And then, cuddling as they're sated and spent, Esther sitting up against the headboard with Max between her legs, Max's back to Esther's chest, Esther's arms around her, tracing her fingers over Max's belly and breasts, as they talk, low and sweet, learning each other. And sometimes that leads to even more sex, Esther's stories turning dirty, her lips brushing Max's ear as she slides a hand down to finger Max's clit, to crook two fingers into her cunt, saying, "I've got you, I've got you," as Max moans and arches into it and shakes all over. And sometimes it doesn't, just turns into them falling asleep in each other's arms. But it's still good. It's all so, so good. Max calls her Uncle Bert and Gracie at least once a week, too. Bert wants to hear every detail about everything. Well, everything but the baseball. It's baffling and not a little hurtful to Max at first, since baseball is and always has been her dream. She soon realizes, though, that it's not that he doesn't care. He's happy that she's happy, but he's more excited about Max traveling, seeing the country, than about the nitty-gritty of her job. Because that's another thing Max is realizing. Baseball has always been her life, her passion, something tied to her identity and her purpose for being, back when it was nothing but a dream for her alone. But being on a real team, playing every day, has quickly made baseball something that is also a matter of routine, into work. It's a good thing. It helps her settle into herself, into the good days and the bad, into the freedom baseball has given her, and the new challenges it has brought. And it teaches her to let go of some of the pressure to be perfect, to feel the losses less deeply. She doesn't love baseball any less. It just means she's allowed to be used to it, even to take it for granted sometimes. Every time she talks to Bert, he has a new friend for Max to get in touch with, or a recommendation for the hottest spot in town. When they get to Seattle, the furthest from home Max has been in her entire life, and is ever likely to be, probably, Bert directs her to a club that the locals apparently just call The Dance. It's a mixed bar, which always makes Esther wary, but she's learned to trust Bert's guidance just as much as Max does. The name is entirely borne out, as they learn when they finally find the bar, down a set of steep dark stairs in a neighborhood by the waterfront. The dance hall is completely packed, and Esther grins at Max as she returns from the bar with their drinks.
"You're lucky there's so little room here. You won't have space for any of those wild dance moves of yours," she teases. "Oh, you mean like the welder?" Max says, striking a pose as if she's back at the factory. "Or the wave?" she continues, shimmying her whole body in a way that makes Esther laugh and laugh and spill about half her drink. Esther ends up being right. There's not much space at all when they finally make their way to the dance floor. Really only enough for them to hold each other and sway, but Max doesn't mind. She loves the throng of people around them, dancing freely and ecstatically just as they are, finding a space where they can be together. The circle of Esther's arms around her, intimate and private, but still all out in the open, like Max never really dreamed it could be. The end.